Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue on this warm and muggy September morning is Mike Galatka. He's past president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association, and Ivan Fernandez, who's their new executive director. And gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me here.
So I
was kind of surprised when I saw this that it's been 5 years that gaming terminals have been liberalized and legalized in the state, and it did get off to a slow start, and part of the revenue was to support the state's last capital construction bill, and there were concerns then about, you know, is this ever going to get off the ground? But it's gotten off the ground.
I think it's taken a little while, but I think that to give credit to the regulators, they didn't allow it to take off real quickly. They made sure that everybody involved were the right people to be involved, and they've allowed it to roll out in a manner that was controllable. And I think what we find is we're getting to that, to the point where we're full out in all the municipalities that are opted in. And I think it's been a great thing. I mean, it's been 5 years. It's been a lot of work and that. But I think at this pace, we've contributed over $1 billion to state and local governments, and more than that to over 6,000 small businesses throughout the state.
And, you know, Ivan, this is also not just meant to be a state or local revenue resource, but it is a way to help some of these small businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the narrative that we hear over and over again is that without this, many small businesses would have gone under a long time ago, and that this came online at the perfect time to save those businesses and create a revenue stream that they can count on to keep their doors open and their employees employed.
Well, and I think what helped finally get this legislatively, because it took a long while for it to pass, and quite frankly, if it wasn't for the capital bill idea and the public works component of it, you know, that's probably what helped move this forward. But you know, when you look at you look at how it has grown, and of that $1 billion, I mean, how does that break state versus local as far as the revenue sources?
Well, the way that the industry is structured, 1/6 of all tax revenue goes back to the local municipality, and then 5/6 or 25% of the 30% that the state receives goes to the state for the capital projects and such, as you said.
And local governments are taking, I don't want to say taking advantage of it, but it's a new revenue source for them as well.
Absolutely. They've, as we saw at the very beginning, where people weren't familiar with what was going to happen, there was a lot of communities that opted out. And at the beginning in September of 2012, there was only 13 communities that were involved in the initial rollout. And as of August of last August, this past month, there was 970 communities that have opted in and have taken advantage of this tax. And the good thing about the amount that goes to them, it's not earmarked for any particular purpose. They can take that money and use it for whatever local source resources they need to fulfill.
Well, and I know, like, the community of Oakwood, I don't even know where that is, actually. I thought I knew where everywhere was in the state, and I don't. But, like, they're using it for college scholarships for residents,
yeah,
which...
We've been at the Municipal League Convention that you'll mm-hmm. be talking to over the last couple of days, and it was real exciting to hear from leaders of different towns throughout the state of what are you using the money for? Like, I spoke to somebody from Lockport. All of their video gaming money goes into a fund in order to do improvements to their downtown area. They've used the money to generate grants and things like that. I mean, Crestwood's park districts, I mean, between police pensions, general fund, I mean, they use it where they need it. And a lot of towns take it serious and say, you know, we want to use this for something that's either going to better the town or socially, culturally, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's been real exciting.
And I get the sense, too, that for the most part, they're knowledgeable enough that they look at it not as a necessarily, I don't want to say unreliable, but just that it's not one that you rely on for basic operational costs kind of things.
Yeah, we did hear from some communities that were very very clear about the fact that they do not include this money in their budgets.
In their general operating budgets.
Exactly, correct.
And so, I mean, you've got Rockford, they use it for their vehicle fleet. Wilmington, they use the money to replace a vehicle sticker tax. I guess, too, you know, given the pressure that these municipalities are under, especially when everybody's talking about property taxes and things like that, to have a non-property tax source of revenue provides some easing for them on a number of things.
I can't recall the name of the community because I was there for two full days, so I spoke to a lot of people, but I remember one that stood out was the fact that they're paying for all their youth sports programs with the money that's generated and contributed. So that the residents that want to play in the youth sports programs do not have to reach into their own pockets and pay for those programs. It's being paid for through this money, which I thought was great.
It's very interesting to see how this has evolved. I mean, you know, from nobody knowing what to expect out of it, and you know, $1 billion in 5 years is nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of the power of video gaming also, is that in the past, riverboat casinos, although they are great destination places and have done wonderful things for those towns, there's 10 of them in, you know, 8 or 9 communities. And video gaming has gone from allowed that money to trickle down to, you know, over a thousand communities throughout the state. In creating an entertainment option for small towns, in that people can stay local and spend their money local versus having to go to the next biggest town or even to a larger town that doesn't have gaming. You know, it's an entertainment option for them to stay local, and I think that's been great.
We're speaking with Mike Galatka. He's past president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association, and Ivan Fernandez, who is their executive director. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, speaking with Mike Galatka, president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association, and their executive director of the association, Ivan Fernandez. We're talking about 5 years of video gaming in Illinois. And, of course, one of the things we've talked about in the past, Mike, is the issue of Chicago having opted out and the potential revenues that the city could see if it were to be allowed. And at a time when the city has been under increased pressure of raising property taxes for different things, if this wouldn't be a viable option. You, of course, say it absolutely should be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously for the mayor, when in his mind there's an option for the city of Chicago to own a casino and not just kind of get they're part of a piece of an existing casino. It's that's his first and foremost thought, is get me a casino downtown that I can own that will pay a lot of bills. But what we've kind of tried to push aside from that idea is that there are neighborhoods in the city that casino would not be necessarily meant for. That's meant to bring outside money in, the conventioners, the people who are here for tourism. And aside from that, video gaming, we believe, would generate probably $200 to $250 million in the city of Chicago. And I mean, if you take a look at that number, that's a huge amount of money that the state, if you just look at the state's portion, that they could use to put back into the city, because the city's asking for a lot. And if you look at some of the numbers that have come out as far as the full-out riverboat expansion that they've talked about, that's more money than the state would get on an annual basis for full extension of riverboats, because each venue would would pull from all of the existing venues and stuff. So the city of Chicago would be huge, I think, for the state. I think we could generate a lot of money. I've said it at times, you know, for the police issues, you know, even some of the taxes that the city has had to take on now with utilities and garbage and stuff like that, I think we'd be able to cover all that.
Has there been, and is there still continue to be pushback from the casinos?
I mean, there is, but I think they've accepted
what the landscape is.
Yeah, I mean, because
as it is now.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, they've accepted that video gaming exists. That to them, it takes from them. I think that it's hurt the riverboats less than what may be perceived, because if you look across the Midwest, riverboat and destination gaming is down or stable at the minimum. But with video gaming, Illinois is the one state that has actually grown in its revenue. Video gaming has grown the pie, which is what's been so successful to me about the proposition, is that you have small businesses making money, and the state is actually growing gaming revenue, whereas other states in the Midwest, even across the country, Las Vegas, Nevada, they grow at 1% a year. We've grown 59% in revenue, the revenue to the state from 2012 to today.
I wanted to ask you about the issue of problem gaming, because that was a big issue with when casino gambling was legalized. And now with more availability of gaming, there's also comes more concern about problem gambling. How do you guys deal with that?
Well, I think over the last 5 years, we've tried to, once we've built it, we've tried to mature as an industry and look out for, for those kinds of people. What we did a few months ago, or the beginning of the year, is that we have been funding enhanced services to the state's 1-800-GAMBLER line, a hotline right now for problem gambling. If you have questions, worries, you want to talk to a counselor, is 1-800-GAMBLER. And what we've done is we've added to the tools that they now have. You can get hold of those same people by text in a world where people may be more likely to reach out by text because it's not as personal as a phone call. You can text ILGAMB, like Illinois Gambling, ILGAMB to 53342. That will get you to a counselor. Or you can go to the Illinois Alliance.org, and that's a group of counselors and responsible gambling advocates and the industry working together. And there you can actually go online and chat online with a counselor. And there's a couple other tools that we're paying for. But the point is that we're trying to reach out and provide as many tools as possible for those players so that at the time, if they do feel weak and they feel like they want to change, that it's right in front of them, that there's a lot of different tools for them to use. And we're also trying to push for certification and further education of waitresses and waiters, make it as part of the Bassett training. And Bassett training is now required throughout the state. So that will put tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people on the ground that have at least some kind of training as to how to spot it, how to react to it, what tools are out there. And I think that's what we're trying to do to push all the opportunities to prevent, problem gambling and help promote responsible gambling.
In this 5-year kind of review of what's going on, and when we talked about this a little bit off air about illegal unregulated gaming machines, and I was kind of curious about this because, that was kind of one of the sales points of having video gambling, was because it existed and it was not regulated. And, the thought being in part that if there's going to be gaming, then it ought to be regulated, then it ought to be, the state should get a take of it. And yet there's still video gambling that's going on out there, and it's not part of the regulated
system. Yeah, unfortunately there is. They've created a loophole, and they've used kind of the laws that McDonald's uses for the Monopoly game and that.
So like a contest type.
Yeah, people. Like it's sweepstakes is what it's called, and you're seeing it a lot in the city of Chicago because the city of Chicago has opted out, and these bar owners and that are looking for some kind of an option, so they're going to that people, and these are people who are unregulated. These are people who are unregulatable. The people who are putting these sweepstakes machines out, if we're trying to get rid of organized crime, that's where organized crime is in these kinds of machines. And so you're seeing it either in places that have opted out, like the city of Chicago, or you're seeing it at locations that can't get regulated by the Illinois Gaming Board, that they wouldn't be passed to be a location licensee. They wouldn't qualify. And so they're using this as their option to compete, and the state sees none of the money. And so we're trying to get Springfield to see a, you know, an obvious thing that needs to be corrected. You know, if we're all going to go through a regulated system, why allow something out there that isn't?
And is it just, is nothing moving because it's Springfield, or is it?
I mean, it's hard to really say. The difficulty is sometimes even...
what's your priority isn't necessarily their priority.
We've had Leader Durkin, like, say, man, that's crazy. But I think sometimes with gaming gets thrown into a pile. And and even sometimes things that are obvious little fixes get thrown into the big pile. And when the big pile gets real heavy, then it just
falls
goes
through
nowhere.
It falls through the floor. Yes.
So, I mean, that's I guess, why we just need to push it as a separate subject. The Chicago Crime Commission had come out in the past and discussed this and tried to push for it. And, you know, in years just get away from themselves and, you know, we got to start over. But we really think it's something that needs to be addressed, and it's an easy fix.
Easier said than done when it comes to Springfield. Right. Mike Galatka, past president of the Illinois Gaming Machine Operators Association, and Ivan Fernandez, the executive director, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be back with more right after this.